This is Adam Lepp with WWGH Radio, the talking place, 107.1 FM on your radio dial, broadcasting all over the great planet Earth at WWGH1071.com. On behalf of myself, the other managers, and all of our great staff members, Happy New Year. 2019 is rapidly approaching. We've been honored and privileged and pleased to have you as a loyal listener with much more great programming coming up in the year ahead. For the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to recap some of our best programming from 2018. Scott Spears and his famous celebrity interviews, remote appearances in Ohio and other areas, and like any program here on The Talking Place, always a surprise or two. Scott often speaks with politicians, including some very well-known ones. Former Ohio Governor Ted Strickland has been kind enough to speak with Scott several times, but earlier this year, he joined us live in the studio.
Well, it is Texas, and that makes it really tough. But just the fact that Beto O'Rourke has made this the kind of contest it is says a whole lot about how Texas is changing. And let me tell you, if not this year, very soon Texas is going to become a blue state. And when Texas becomes a blue state, how will Republicans ever win a national election? You take Texas, as large as it is, and you give the electoral votes to a Democrat, it's going to be very, very difficult. So I hope Beto wins. He's an inspiring young candidate. But we've got lots of inspiring young candidates, and some of them are here in Ohio running for Congress. And if I can just take a minute to say something about our statewide ticket. Obviously, there's Rich Cordray and Betty Sutton, and they're wonderful. But then we've got Kathleen, who's running for Secretary of State, and she's great. We've got Rob Richardson, who's running for Treasurer. We've got Mr. Dettelbach, who's running for Attorney General. Great, great candidate. We've got Zach Space, who's running for Auditor. Have I got them all?
You got all the executive ticket, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And Sherrod Brown.
Sherrod is going to win very handedly, I think, because he's been a great senator. So we've got a great ticket. And for those of your listeners who haven't voted yet, I would respectfully ask that you just go out and you vote the Democratic ticket, because these are all really quality people. They'll do a wonderful job. They consider themselves public servants, and I hope they all win.
If you were to provide a list of my favorite celebrities, role models, heroes, or even idols, this wonderful lady would certainly be near the top of that list. I've also been known to do a somewhat decent impersonation of her, so listen to my show, you might hear it sometime. Whom else would I be referring to than the legendary sex therapist, author, lecturer? She's still teaching sex education, and she's been gracious to enter the WWGH airwaves and talk about her career. A little bit about her personal life, not too much about politics, if you might have heard the entire show, and certainly general tips for making your life as a Homo sapiens as fulfilling as possible. Of course, I'm referring to Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
Is Dr. Ruth in a happy relationship?
Good question. What is your next question, Scott? About my personal life.
We're going to dig right in, Doctor.
But I have to tell you something funny, okay? So a few weeks ago, I went to a wedding in California of the producer, Rafi, who is right now doing a documentary about me, which will be out in a couple of months. So I went to his wedding, and I met, whom I had met before, a physician gentleman, that if that guy would be a widower and would be like maybe 20 years younger, maybe I would have something to tell you about your question. This way, I just smile. I'm telling you that I know what I'm talking about, because I was in a 38-year-old marriage before my husband passed away. I've had two marriages before. They were wonderful, legalized love affairs. Now, Scott, your next question.
We will move right along. Well, does love have an age?
No. Now, but there is certainly something about love that you do have to know. Like, young people can have sex every single day of the week. When people get older, maybe three times. When they get much older, maybe once a week. It doesn't matter. What's important to me is that people should be in a relationship that is productive, that they care for each other, that they have something to talk to each other, that they are not on their iPhone when they go to restaurants. So the actual sexual part has to be, I did a book called Sex Over 50 to tell people, older people, to have sex in the morning when the testosterone level is highest, when women have had a good night's sleep, and to use a lubricant in order not to have painful intercourse. So there are certain things that you have to learn, but all in all, what I'm saying is that the companionship, the relationship, the caressing, the smile when that other person enters into the room, very important.
Dr. Ruth, are we an uptight society?
The people think that that French have better sex than Americans. Not so. I have lived in France, in Paris, for 5 years, and I can tell you, we have the best knowledge. It is true that we come from a Victorian society, that sex education was not part of the curriculum, that parents were uptight talking about sex with their children. But fortunately, in 2018, we know better. But on the other hand, we also know that we still have to worry about AIDS. We have to worry about sexually transmitted diseases like syphilis and gonorrhea. When people have unprotected sex, we have to worry about unintended pregnancies. Even so, in today's world, look, I'm talking to Ohio about sex with you. Not about your life and not about my life, but about sex and relationships.
You know,
and should you stay or go in the relationship?
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing, Dr. Ruth. You're in broadcasting, I'm in broadcasting, and this is still over-the-air radio. Now, if we were on the internet or we were on satellite radio, there's certain words we could say that we can't say on over-the-air radio. And it leads, is the whole United States, is it just, because some of these terms are medical terms.
Right, but that's very interesting, Scott. You should not say these terms. I can say them because I'm Dr. Ruth. I have a doctorate in the study of the family, Columbia University's Teachers College, where I'm teaching right now, my third year.
This is Adam Lepp of WWGH Radio with our Best of 2018 radio program. Next up, we have a longtime actress talk about a talented person and a very funny one at that. She appeared regularly on Roseanne as Roseanne and Jackie's mother. Very kind of her to have spoken with Scott Spears earlier in 2018, Estelle Parsons.
Estelle, you were on the Today Show when it started. You had been an Academy Award winner for Bonnie and Clyde. But yet, in the television universe, Roseanne was a number one show when you joined the cast. What was it like? Everybody had to know you. Number one show.
Yeah.
But what was it like?
I like being number one.
You might be again. It wouldn't shock me if Roseanne was able to do that again. What was it like? We always heard of weird things on that set during the 80s and 90s. What was it like working there?
Oh, it was fun. You never knew what it was going to be like, you know. And the writers were wonderful, which is, of course, the most important thing of all. The writers and Rosie. So it was great fun. I always loved going out there. They all liked me. I liked all of them. And then when we went back this time, I did, I think they've done 9 new episodes. I did 2 of them. I was a little nervous because when you get old, you know, a lot of writers want to do things that, being old, you really don't think are very good. Get involved with, I don't know what, old age homes and all that stuff. But they had wonderful, I wanted, you know, to present as smart and still having a good life and all of that. So the first show was about my getting kicked out of the old age home for having sex. And then the second show was that I did was about nobody wanted me to live with them. I had lived with Roseanne, then she sent me over to Laurie, then Laurie sent me over to the older daughter, and then she came to her mother and said, I'm not going to keep her, and then I decided I'd jump out the window because nobody wanted me. But Laurie wouldn't let me do that, so it sort of ended with Laurie declaring that she loved her mother. It was quite a lovely moment. We had a great time.
I want to go back to the original series for a minute. Your character, Bev Harris, had a lot of change over that 9 years, got divorced, moved into a retirement community, at one point kind of alluded.
Did I get divorced? I thought he died.
Oh, he died. He died. He did die. That was right. You are right.
Yeah.
He died, and you became more and more a part of the series. Was it fun becoming more a part of it?
What?
Did you like becoming more a part of the series?
I didn't really, you know, I guess I didn't really realize that I became more a part of it. But now that I look at it, I guess, yes, I did.
You're
become more of a part of it. Yeah, I always had a wonderful time when I went out there. I never knew what they were going to, like, do with me, like, one thing I showed up in black leather, and then another thing I showed up with a girlfriend. I declared myself a lesbian, and so I never knew what was going to happen when I went out.
One of the things that we all remember from the original run, your mother was played by the late Shelley Winters, who we
all... yeah, wasn't she mad?
Oh,
she said, Estelle, you're only 7 years younger than me. You'll have to dye your hair.
What was Shelley like? We all think of her as being such a...
Oh, she was a great, great actress. People loved her. You know, you walk in a room with her, people just loved her. She was a wonderfully giving person, professionally speaking, you know, and her acting was just fantastic. And she, too, was a very straight-out kind of person, you know, expressing herself in a very straight-out way, which I always admire women who are capable of doing that.
This character of Roseanne's mother, how was it described to you? What kind of woman was she?
Oh, I have no idea. It was never described to me. They just said, would you come? And I said, yes, I will. And then I got there and they handed me a script. I don't know. It just seemed to go, you know, week by week.
Is she close to you?
She was never described to me. And I think in television, you know, you kind of have to play yourself. The character is, I'm sure the writers know what the character is because they have created the character. But for myself in television, it all happens so quickly. Just kind of learn the lines and be myself.
In March of 2018, Scott Spears, Terry Tackett, and myself were very privileged to have taken a trip to the great city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to witness personally the introduction of the Mr. Rogers stamp. Again, if you talk about my idols, not just from childhood, but as an adult, Mr. Rogers is certainly right up there. We met the first female postmaster general. We hung out with a good friend of the station, David Newell, or also known as Mr. McFeely. Spoke multiple times with the great photographer who took the photo on the stamp, Mr. Walt Seng. Caught up with Joe Handyman Negri. Of course, I snagged a few autographs and briefly met Mrs. Joanne Rogers. What a fine lady she was, also. We broadcast multiple times from the event, from the Heinz Museum, as well as from the TV studios where the show took place.
This morning, Friday morning, March 23rd, this stamp went on sale in every post office around the United States, so you can go to your local post office and get this stamp today. That's amazing, David.
In Hawaii and Alaska, too.
Exactly. We count them as well. Walt, something you took, a picture you took, a photo you took, now Hawaii, Alaska, they can walk in today and get your photo. What do you make of that?
Isn't technology wonderful?
Now, Walt, I want you to tell this story, because this is a great story, about how you take photographs. Because we all take photographs, and some of them coming out looking awful. Best way to take a photograph, you told us yesterday, animals versus people.
Oh, you were taking a photograph of the other announcer and I, and you were shooting down on us. And I said, you shoot down on dogs and cats and your pets. I said, you shoot eye level with people or up.
It's a good thing to know.
One more time, so people
yeah,
can...
Yeah, that's a good thing.
When you photograph a person, shoot them at eye level or from a low angle.
And dogs and cats, you shoot...
From above.
Okay. You know, that's a very handy tip. It can make a lot of pictures, improve a lot of vacation pictures.
Now, David, I met your son, and in all the time we've known each other, I did not know he was a postman, or maybe I've just omitted that fact.
No, he just became...
Just became one.
About a year ago.
Now, you playing a postman for more than 30 years, yeah. What impact did this have?
I think it's more irony than anything that he studied to be a sports administrator. And he did it for a while, and he didn't like it. And then he came back to Pittsburgh, and he just said, I'm going to go to the post office. And he applied, and he got a job. And here he is, making deliveries. And I do it on TV in the neighborhood of make-believe, and he does it in the real world.
David, you were here when the last show was taped, 2001, where we are, the studio. What was that day like?
Boy, we actually taped in another studio the very first day, but we taped in this studio 3 years later. But... You know something? I'll tell you a story. The floor we're standing on right now, the first program we did, Fred wanted a horse. And I got a horse. They parked it right outside in the parking lot, the horse carrier, and they brought him in. Well, they had a brand new floor. Oh, imported, whatever you call linoleum on the... And the horse's hoof... The nail wasn't driven all the way in, and every place he walked, he put a hole in the newel. And I guess their home insurance, whatever it is, covered for a new floor. But that's what I remember. But it worked out okay. They did get a new floor because it had...
So that was the memory of this day, huh?
That was the memory of that day. Yeah.
Yes, because we're... Oh, no. But it went away and all the good memories remained.
Walt, your fondest memory of Fred Rogers over the more than 30 years that you knew him?
Everyone. My fondest, well, the one that brought a tear to my eye was when we were doing a photo shoot, and I know he didn't like to have his picture taken, but I needed him to glow, you know. I mean, I needed to get his spirit out. And he said, Walt, you know you're the only photographer that I ever give myself to. And man, I couldn't shoot. My eyes teared up when he said that.
The choir at the Marion Correctional Institution has been receiving a lot of positive press recently, for good reason. Scott Spears paid them a visit.
When you have students, you become close to them in college and elementary school. When you teach in a situation like this, do you get to know them, their stories, as time goes on?
Well, sure, in a certain kind of way. But, you know, you're encouraged not to form relationships, and I honor that. And but invariably, I mean, I have some of the people in London Correctional since 1993. So come on, is that 25 years or something like that? So I've almost every week going in so I know them, and I know that either if they've been in the hole, they haven't been in the hole, they're going to school. We do things for parents when the parents come in, so I've met the parents of people here, but also no, I don't know if we've done that yet here. I don't think, but in DCI, I have a women's choir there. Meet the families. I met, you know, one young woman's daughter came with her mother and her daughter, and now she's out, you know. So you you have to know boundaries and you have to know rules. That's really important. At the same time, if you know somebody over a long period of time, it's not like you're a robot and come in and you know, and music. See, the thing about music also is you have to... singing, choral singing, is your instrument is your voice, and that is super vulnerable. When you know, if you're in a bad way and you've just gotten flopped back into the prison for 5 years and you thought you were going to get out on parole, right? You get choked up when you breathe. You go to breathe to sing a line, you know. And when you sing in front of people, it's you. You're the instrument. You're not holding some violin out here or some keyboard, you know. So there's so much to take in, and I think it's very impossible to be vulnerable out in the main population, too. So that's another thing they learn, and how do you learn to be vulnerable? It's when you trust. And obviously, we have a situation. Most of the people here haven't had very good situations in their youth. And they haven't trusted people. They haven't felt loved. They, you know, I'm probably repeating myself. But anyway.
Catherine Roma, I cannot thank you enough for letting us come in today, as well as the people here at MCI. I'm going to let you go over with the gentleman, and we will take a listen.
Okay, good.
All right. Thank you, Catherine.
You know me, you know I don't turn down good food, especially if it has a local connection. In August, Bucyrus hosted their famous Bratwurst Festival, and WWGH Radio came along for the ride.
And tomorrow is the big day. The parade begins at 2 in the afternoon, and it is a long, long parade and really interesting.
Now, what kind of things are in the parade? Is it a lot of cars, a lot of politicians?
I don't believe they allow politicians. I think that was a thing that they came up with a long time ago, no politicians. Brother, that's still in effect. We'll know tomorrow. But there will be a lot of floats. A lot of companies here will put together a float.
Now, do they have a lot of motorcycles and fire engines like we do at the Popcorn
Fire
Festival?
Fire engine, yes, but not motorcycles.
Now, I never have understood at the Popcorn Festival, is that part of the parade, or are they just there at the end of the parade?
Open up, I really don't know, but they roar like crazy, don't they?
Now, the Carly's bratwurst sandwiches. Now, we did not have what would look like a typical bratwurst. It was a sandwich.
Yeah.
Now, it was a bratwurst with sauerkraut and mustard.
Mustard, maybe some horseradish.
Well, there was something that I could tell that was a little spicy in there.
Yes, that probably was horseradish.
Now, is sauerkraut typical with the bratwurst?
Yes, it is. Typical would be a rye bun with sauerkraut and onions. And usually, where you buy your bratwurst, they'll have outside, they'll have jars full of chipped onions, and anything you need.
Well, the bratwurst is a very... When you think of the hot dog, and you compare it to the bratwurst is just 10 times better.
That's right. No comparison. Wieners or hot dogs are in their own field.
Totally different tastes.
Yes, absolutely.
Even though they're prepared similarly. But we did learn, I don't know how much, we dipped a little into the break there, but Carly was talking about beer brats and the fact that beer is not necessary.
Yeah, they don't recommend boiling bratwurst in beer. They say drink the beer and eat the bratwurst. But,
So that's just an old hangover.
Yeah. We saw some royalty going in the office here. I hope.
Yeah, hopefully they'll come out.
Yeah.
I thought
right.
I saw some us there.
Oh, there's the Braille royalty across the way from us. If they come back this way, we'll grab them.
They have. Oh, here's. Would you like to be on the radio?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go.
Yeah. Oh, boy. First runner up, your name?
Megan Young.
Okay. Boy. Oh, you got. French fries and a sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh.
What kind of sandwich? A hot dog. Hot dog. Yep.
Okay. Megan, where are you? You're from Bucyrus, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
What school?
Winford Elementary.
Okay. All right. That's just on the west end of town here. How long have you competed before in this festival?
Last year I went and I didn't win, and this year here I am.
Hey. All right. Now here's something. I have a granddaughter that was a first runner-up in Miss Teeny Pop in the Popcorn Festival.
Cool.
Did you get some gifts?
Yes, I got a lot of gifts.
And a trophy?
Yes, my trophy is in the car.
Oh, okay, now you're going to be in the parade tomorrow at 4 o'clock, right?
I'm going to be in it today, too, I think.
Oh, that's right, tonight at 7.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll be dancing up on the stage with the band and... I'm doing the pizza eating contest, the cream puff eating contest, and just walking around.
June 15th, 2018 was WWGH Day in LaRue, Ohio. Or is it LaRue? Well, we addressed the pronunciation conundrum with the mayor and townspeople on that special day at the radio station.
Who do we have with us?
Cheryl Johnson and Deb Berry.
All right, Cheryl and Deb, tell us how tell us about the orang-orang tomorrow. Big list of events coming up.
Big list of events. We have the duck race. Now, you can't purchase a duck. You have to rent your duck. because we want them back. We give them the baths and we pack them away for the winter and we use them the following year again. So that is the duck race. That takes off at, I believe, 6, is it?
5:15. The duck race?
Yep. And we have the cattle up drop. Before you leave, you can go over and check out the grid. We got that all built yesterday, so we're ready for the cow.
Cow plop at 2:30.
Yeah, well, after the parade, the cow will be in the parade.
Now, tell me about this cow. Now, it's the second year for the cow, I heard.
Third year
for the cow.
Yes.
My goodness.
We have a young lady from Elgin. Let's see, Lauren Van Gundy, I believe was her name. And this was her cow that she has used in 4-H and FFA. So she has generously paraded her cow for us down the parade route, and then it immediately goes to the pen, and everyone waits for the cow to do her thing.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, is that a highlight with the event named the Oorang Moorang? I would think that's the signature event.
Well, it kind of is. One of our fundraising group members, Cindy Clymer, came up with that name, and we just said, perfect. That's what we're going to call it. So
now, with the event starting right after the parade tomorrow, how long do you have to pink your bets?
Oh, you can bet up until the cow does her first plop, and then you can still continue to bet for the second one.
Oh, so you can win on additional plops?
Yes.
Oh.
We wait for 2 plops.
Now, do we know what the prizes are for those 2?
We do.
First one is $300, and the second plop is $200.
My goodness.
Cash.
Now, to register for this, how do you do that?
You buy a square. You come and look and pick your square, find a vacant one. You just kind of have to decide where you might think the cow is going to pick.
Now, has there ever been an issue where the cow was right on the line?
There was.
Oh, so I can imagine. Is there a referee out there for this thing?
We had to divide the winnings between the 2 plops, or the one that kind of ran over to the next one.
Isn't that something? Now, the cow eats and is ready to go.
Yes.
After the parade. Well, that is it a long event?
It depends.
On the cow.
On the cow that day. Well, how does the cow have a name?
I don't know.
Well, one thing that really interests me for tomorrow at 2:30 to 3 o'clock, Sophie and her ukulele.
One very cool thing about working here at the Talking Place is that we hear viewpoints from all kinds of people. Sometimes we agree with their viewpoints, and sometimes we don't. But we thank all of our guests for taking time out of their schedules to share their thoughts and viewpoints with us. Arthur Jones is an American neo-Nazi. He was a Republican candidate for the 3rd Congressional District of Illinois in the November 2018 midterm election. He did lose to Democrat Dan Lipinski. Scott Spears spoke with him earlier this year.
What prompted you to run for the congressional seat?
Well, first of all, I believe I'm a better man for the job than the current incumbent Democratic Congressman Dan Lipinski. Between his father, Bill Lipinski, and the time that he served is 35 years of unbroken Lipinski representation in the 3rd Congressional District. And, you know, to me, Dan Lipinski is just a mouthpiece for the head of the Democratic Party of Illinois, and that's a man named Michael Madigan, who's been in office longer than Lipinski has. And his daughter, Lisa Madigan, is the Attorney General, for God's sake. So it's like a dynasty we have here in the state of Illinois, and that's probably one reason why the state is $130 billion in the hole on pensions, among other things. But I'm running for Congress because I'm concerned about a future Holocaust, not the Holocaust that the news media tried to saddle me with. That's not a part of my campaign at all. Nothing in my campaign literature deals with the Holocaust. But I'm concerned about a potential future Holocaust as we keep getting deeper and deeper involved in these never-ending wars in the Middle East, We've been in Iraq and Afghanistan for 16 years. And what have we accomplished? Absolutely nothing. There's no stable governments. There's no popular support for any particular leader in those parts of the world. They're fighting back and forth. We don't know anything about any of these people, okay? But we pick and choose the side we want to support. And we end up, for God's sakes, some of these people turning on our own soldiers. I mean, it's senseless. It's just like Vietnam was. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I see the same pattern of betrayal going on in the Middle East as we experienced in Vietnam. It's a never-ending war, okay, that has no intention of being won. As long as they can keep the war going, the millionaires, these blood-sucking war profiteers on Wall Street, are being made into billionaires. And I don't think that's a proper course for the United States to be following, okay? So that's my first concern, and that's what I told the voters when I got my signatures. I said my number one concern is these never-ending wars that I consider to be a criminal use of manpower and of money. We spent over $2 trillion in fighting these wars, and there's no end in sight. And I'm very disappointed that President Trump has not had the gumption and backbone to end our involvement in these wars. Instead, he's getting us deeper involved, tied in with the Israeli lobby. He gave Jerusalem to the Jews, something they've long wanted, against the entire world, turned on the United States after he did that act. And now Israel feels bold enough to attack Syria, using that as an excuse, say, well, we don't want to let Iran build up a beachhead in Syria to attack Israel. They're not doing any such thing. I mean, and even if they were, why are we constantly taking the side of the Israelis against all these other Arab nations? I mean, it's absolutely criminal, our foreign policy in the Middle East. And the current incumbent Democratic Congressman Dan Lipinski, he allied himself with the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee and supports these ongoing wars. And that's my number one issue, is to get us out of those wars. If we're going to defend anybody's borders, it ought to be our own country's borders for a change, not every third world nation's borders.
So at this point, 1 year into his presidency, what kind of a grade would you give President Trump?
Oh, I guess a B+.
So what do you like that he's done? We've heard what you don't like. What do you like?
Well, I like the fact that he wanted to build a wall, you know, on our southern border to keep out the drug dealers and the criminal element that is pouring across the borders. Also, according to the Immigration Department, we've got aliens from 72 foreign nations coming across our borders. It's a sieve. 72 foreign nations, and we don't know where these people are coming from, what they're going to do once they get here. We could have a virtual underground army being formed, you know, by these aliens, okay? And as a matter of fact, that's exactly what they have. They have a militant organization called the Brown Berets, and their idea is to take back the southwest United States and create a nation called Aztlan, okay? That comprises Texas, California, Arizona, New Mexico, Wyoming, and Utah. That's Aztlan. They think they're going to achieve that goal. And with a gutless leadership, of the Democratic Party over the years, that's exactly what could happen. So, I mean, our country is in mortal danger of a third world invasion. That's exactly what's going on, a third world invasion. First on the southern borders, but then you have legal aliens coming into the country, arriving on our East Coast. And then they overstay their visas, and then we have to hunt them down.
Mr. Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice. Bit of a folk hero here in the great Buckeye State and around the world. He has been at our studio many times. Greatly appreciate his dulcet tones. On the day before Thanksgiving, Ted was live in the studio with Scott Spears and friends.
We've had a great week here at the station with Roger Stone, President Trump's assistant, and Bill Cosby's PR man.
Yeah.
And we had Pat Carroll and Bill Macy were on this week.
It's one of the greatest stellar of guests I've ever seen any one person have in local radio, you know.
And Sam Donaldson was on recently.
Sam Donaldson, wow.
What a great guy he was.
Peter Jennings, Sam Donaldson, and Ted Koppel, the ABC lead team, I used to call them.
You know, ABC was a very smart organization, and it brings us to the holidays because news people always have to work during the holidays.
Yes.
Because news never stops.
That's right. And we bring you the news on ABC. I forgot to mention one other person, of course, outside of Robin Roberts and the many hosts of people that they've had, but one of the ones that really a pioneer in black journalism is Max Robinson.
Yes,
and
yes.
And Max was the first black anchor for an evening news. And it was right at WABC.
You know, who was the guy on CNN? He was there from the beginning. Bernie.
Tony Dow?
No. Bernie. Bernie.
Oh, yeah, Bernie, yeah. He had the mustache.
Yes, yes. He was very good.
Yeah.
He was one of the ones with Peter Arnett, who was in Baghdad when they started bombing, and he was hauled up there. They didn't know if they were going to live or die.
Yeah.
Bernie Shaw was named.
Bernard Shaw. Bernard Shaw.
He was very good.
Yeah. Then, of course, CBS had my boy Bill Bradley.
Ed Bradley.
Yeah.
Was there ever a cooler journalist than Ed Bradley?
Oh, man, he was great. Him and Dan Rather.
The whole 60 Minutes group
was
there was something in the water there for years.
Something Schaefer, what was his name? Pauling
I mean, we had Mike Wallace.
Mike Wallace.
Andy Rooney.
You ever hear about the way that people want to know what the world is going to end up in?
He was such a cranky old man.
You ever wonder?
How he did it.
He was great.
He was worried about the minutia of life.
Yeah.
You know? Did you ever wonder why Fruit Loops are multicolored?
Yeah.
And why they're so much smaller than Cheerios?
Yes. And he was a nice guy, I think, but a curmudgeon.
Yes, absolutely. And we have a young lady who is the better half of my friend here, Richard. Her name is Tyra. Tyra, you got your own microphone over there, so put it to use by introducing yourself and telling us what you're grateful for on this Thanksgiving.
Hi, you guys. I'm Tyra Anderson. I'm very much grateful for my family.
Yes.
I'm grateful for my children. I'm grateful for my newfound relationship.
Hey.
And I just want to thank God for bringing me into this new year with new beginnings.
There you go, because in fact, here at WWGH, you are part of this new beginning.
Yes, I am. Thank you guys for welcoming me.
We're so glad you're here tonight because the holidays, you want to spend them with people who feel like family.
Now, Richard just pointed to it like, go home and start cooking. I'm just kidding. Go make that turkey, Gail.
I'm starting to think about that. Oh,
there's going to be such good meals tomorrow and the Christmas music will start.
Yes.
But you know, the people have to stop going to the store on Thanksgiving night. The sales start too early.
Yeah.
Why?
Of course. I don't know. You know what, Scott? I think they women sometimes forget who they invited.
Let's ask.
Yeah.
You go right ahead. We do have a woman here.
Yeah,
yes.
Let's ask.
What was
ask?
The question again? I'm sorry.
Why do we have to start shopping on Thanksgiving night for Christmas?
Just because that it's going to be a lot of the stores and stuff like that is going to be crowded, and everybody's trying to get that Black Friday sale, so everybody goes right after Thanksgiving because they're trying to get a deal. So that's why I shop early like that.
Oh, see, I just can't go in those stores when they're busy like that. Do you like going in those stores when they're busy like that?
I think it's for women, though.
Oh, I
think they made Black Friday for women.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised how many men are out there also.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I go into Bath and Body Works on Black Friday.
Oh, probably is a hassle.
Because now it is a lot of men out there that do the cooking too, also.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
True,
so we ain't gonna leave our fellow man out because we do a lot of cooking also.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
I know I can cook.
Well, a lot of people, I've heard about this deep frying of turkeys.
On behalf of everybody here at The Talking Place, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM in the Marion area and online at WWGH1071.com. Thank you for being such an important part of our listening family, and Happy New Year. This is Adam Lipp.